The People's Show, Satyar Shah, Randeep Janda, Bik Nizar, Dan Riccio on vacation, well-earned time off. Enjoy the next few days. New Year, New Year's Eve, tomorrow. Can't believe it's already here. What are your New Year's Eve plans? Psych.
Yeah, I'll be hosting the show with Bik tomorrow. Thanks, Sat.
Yeah. Yo, I mean, and even so, like, I have the day off tomorrow. I ain't doing anything. I ain't going anywhere. There's nothing to do. So,
you're not hitting up Granville on New Year's Eve.
Nope.
At what age did you give up, like, night out on New Year's Eve?
Oh, bro. I think I gave that up probably right before I turned 30. Like, 29 was probably the last time I went out for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Like, I've done house parties and stuff, but I go out, probably 29.
I remember when I, and I can mention this place now because it's closed, but
right.
What was that place on Granville, right across from the bay? It was, is it O'Bar? I think it was O'Bar.
Yes, yeah,
O'Bar.
Right? I remember O'Bar.
And it was
someone would get shot every 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. So ended up there at New Year's Eve one night, and it was like any other night, but I had paid like times five. And it's just like, never ever doing this again. Never doing this again.
I think you and I might have ran into each other, because I definitely did a New Year's Eve at O'Bar.
Probably. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the last New Year's Eve thing I did was some big event at Science World. And, you know.
Hey, I think you and me may have ran into that.
But the thing that gets me about New Year's.
No lie.
Right, maybe it was. But, you know, the thing that gets me about those big New Year's Eve things, it's like you pay $100 to go, right? And then you get there and you still got to wait in line. You still have to, like, take forever to get in, and it's still a pain in the ass, and you have to still pay off the bouncer to get in early. It's like, why am I paying $100 just to get into a place and still go through the regular stuff I go through trying to go to a bar late at night? It's like, I don't know, man. That's when I kind of realized at the age of 29, I'm like, the money, the investment, the time, the stress, can't do it.
You know what happens? You know when it comes to the realization of, like, man, I just sobered up waiting in line for my next drink? Like, it's – no.
Yes.
That's too long of a wait.
Yeah, you got to be VIP to get, like, free champagne.
I perfected New Year's years ago. It was
drinking in a park?
just go to sleep at 10:30. It's like any other day. It's no big deal.
Bik, you'll go to sleep anywhere, anytime. Yeah. That's Bik's brand. Man does not have a sleep country ad yet, I don't know.
I don't actually... I can't remember the last time I was awake at midnight on New Year's.
But do you get woken up, Bik? It's out of here. Do you get woken up at midnight when the people set off the fireworks?
I'm a deep sleeper. I have slept through fire alarms and all sorts of stuff. As soon as I'm out, I'm out. I'm getting my 8 hours.
Bro, Eddie, so you know that bench, which is in, like, the common area? No, man.
Yes.
Eddie, you know that bench, which is in the common area?
Yes.
Bik once fell asleep on that bench.
Oh, my
God. And, like, slept, like, all night, like, until, like, 8 in the morning. And people were, like, walking by him getting coffee.
If you haven't slept.
Like, who's this guy?
If you haven't slept in an obscure spot at a radio station, have you worked in the business?
That's fair.
That's a very good point.
That's a common. That's just a conversation between us four, Bik. Don't worry. Nobody else knows about it now.
You got memed doing it, so I think if the cat was already out of the bag. It was already out of the bag. All right, it is the People Show. Get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Matt Lee is going to join us in about 10 minutes' time. We'll talk some Canucks odds and take a look at the NFL heading into the weekend as well. A lot of interesting matchups as the postseason starts to near in the NFL as well. We mentioned JT Miller. Last night, yet again, JT Miller, the hero for the Vancouver Canucks. He does a bit of everything. And, you know, I did think this text was kind of funny from Jim. Yes, Miller is doing everything for the Canucks, including taking stupid penalties. And there is the good and the bad with JT Miller. But you can't separate the two because even the bad comes from a place of trying to create and be audacious and be bold in his game. And if you take that confidence and you take that, you know, edge away from him, he's not going to try to do other things that he's successful in doing. And yeah, I'll live with the mistakes. I'll live with the big, loud mistakes because he does so much more that's good for the team. And Bik, last night, you know, I know you and I talked about how important JT Miller is to this team. And guys, I'm honestly getting to the point where we've seen guys leave before, right? And, you know, we can always overstate and underestimate intangibles, and I think you got to be really careful which players you sign and which players you bring in for the intangibles. It can't be a role player you overpay. It can't be a player who's on the margins that you overcommit to. But if he's a guy that means something truly to your team, is the heartbeat of your team, in many ways is the guy that will to try to bring guys together the best he can no matter what and shows up in battles every single night and is also your best player right now, at least your best forward, That's JT Miller. And I'm getting closer and closer to the stage, Randy, where I think you can't lose this guy. And if you got to sign him, not that you give him anything, but I think you really got to work hard to see if you can get to a contract that works for both parties after the season. Like, I'm getting a lot closer to the side of keep JT Miller as opposed to trading JT Miller.
Yeah, if this team continues to truly turn it around like we've seen with their 7-game winning streak and climbing up, you know, the standings, and this carries over to even next year, this is going to be one hell of a decision that the Vancouver Canucks have. Because to your point, I know generally when we're talking about players and as they get towards the age of 30, you're saying it's usually not good business. It's usually not smart to do so. But to your point, Sat, he is a guy that means more than just, you know, points. And first of all, he's the leading point getter on this team, so he is important. But he is kind of that, the heart of this team. He's the guy that moves the meter offensively. He can get the most out of him. But I think when you're talking about that contract, with any player, but especially one that's nearing 30, what does it look like? Because when you start going through the comps, you know, a player at this age, that 29, 30 years of age, when you start considering an extension, this is the big payday. Like, this is the one that JT Miller, he's made, you know, a very good living in his life, $5.5 million for the last 5 years. Excellent contract for him. But this one right now, with the way that he has turned into a difference maker, a leader on a team, this is the one that he's going to make coin. So not only annual average, because you can make your comps out there. Is Mika Zibanejad a comp? $8.5 million. JT Miller playing more center over the last year all of a sudden puts himself into maybe a different discussion where he's saying, hey, I'm seen as a center, so therefore I want to be paid like a center. Maybe it's slightly less than that. That could be obviously the high end, but I think, you know, if you're an agent, you're probably looking at that number. On an annual average, you're probably aiming quite high. The other thing is term. If you're a 30-year-old player, you're looking for that six or seven-year deal that's going to keep you in that city for a long time. So, boys, I think he's an important piece. I think he's somebody that you want to keep long-term. But that price is not going to be cheap anymore, especially that he's playing down the middle a lot more.
Yeah, I was just going to make that point about the center. Because he's down the middle now, it's, you know, you can no longer look at winger comps and say, boy, the guy I'd love to compare him to is Max Pacioretty or something like that, or Landeskog. Mm-hmm. And no, if he's going to play down the middle, and he is, and more importantly, succeeding down the middle, you have to start looking at center comps. And you mentioned Mika Zibanejad. You know, he's got some prolific goal-scoring seasons. Maybe that's a little out of his range. If I'm the Miller camp, the guy I'm looking at, same draft year, plays the same position. I'm looking at Sean Couturier. He just signed an 8-year deal, which comes into effect next season. But you say, hey, look, we're both 2011 draft picks. I'm a little bit younger, playing center. I want something that's in the 8-year, $7.75 million deal. And JT Miller has been more productive than Sean Couturier. Couturier's got a ton of defensive value, but he's put up more points in him. In his Vancouver tenure and been better per game as far as production than Couturier. That's the number I'm looking at. And that sounds like a lot, $62 million over 8 years. But if I'm the JT Miller camp, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, I mean, I saw MJ Van City tweeted at us and kind of showed the numbers for guys that are free agents that have been similar, at least have a similar point production to him so far this year. It's a big number, right? And I think you got to be careful with that, especially with a guy who's getting a bit older. But I think you're at a point where you have to start exploring that. And I think a lot of people are kind of feeling the same way. Not everybody, however. This text here from Tony and Poco says, re-sign him for 6 years at $7 million per season. I know Cole Kreiderman on Twitter said 5 years at $6.25 million. Like, is that a range that's realistic? You know, the 6 to 7 million, or like you guys mentioned, does it have to go to that 8 range a little bit here as he gets higher in production? And, you know, that's one thing that JT's going to have to figure out too, because if he wants to, say, earn every single buck and maximize every single dollar he can, that may not be in Vancouver. Not to say Vancouver doesn't value him that way, but when you look at the contracts they have on the books, guys they got to sign, and how you build the cap over the next little while, you can't overextend to JT Miller. So the biggest challenge is going to be, how much is he willing to play ball? Can you get something done that doesn't put him into that next level stratosphere? Because if it does, it just may not work out with this team, right? But I start looking at the possibilities here around JT Miller. and what he means to this hockey team, I do think it's really fascinating when you look at what he means to this club. And I see Terry in missions like, oh, you guys are flip-floppers and all this sort of stuff, yada, yada. I don't think I ever said trade JT Miller. And I think I defended JT Miller quite a bit over the year. And I ranted about people that said he's the problem in the room and all that sort of stuff. So, hey, man, you guys can have whatever opinions you want. But a guy like JT Miller, I think more than anything this year, even when things were going bad, I saw a lot of leadership from him. And last year, a lot of things went awry, and perhaps he wasn't mature enough, and a lot of things happened which he had to do better. But through the worst turmoil this team was going through this season, guys, the guy I kept hearing who was trying to bring guys together and tried to rally them as best he could and did everything in his power to try to keep the guys going was JT Miller. And when I see a guy lead that way when things are bad and tries to do his best, that goes a long way. And when you factor in how he's playing on the ice, I don't know, man. He's getting a lot closer to the category of a guy you can't lose.
Yeah, and the caveat here, and I see, you know, Terry and Mission's text as well, is that it all depends on which way the team is trending. Earlier on this year, it was trending in a bad way, so you start wondering if they're going through, you know, a rebuild. Then you start pondering what options there are. Jim Rutherford coming in and saying, hey, this is not an immediate fix, but we're also going to be looking at long-term, but we want to stay competitive. That does provide a little bit of clarity, and most importantly, the team starts winning, so the situation is, at least in the short term, right. And, you know, Bick, I think the Couturier example is a good one. You know, Zibanejad's from that same draft year. He signed a year, you know, signed an extension early. The reason I make Zibanejad's comp is if we look at point production, and it's true, Mika Zibanejad is a more prolific goal scorer, 40 goals and 30 goals and on his resume. But the point totals, he's only hit 70 points twice. Mm-hmm. If JT Miller gets there this year, which it looks like he should, if not 80, they're kind of in that same mold. And I think the game changer here will be if he continues to play down the middle, which it seems like from Bruce Boudreau and how he's used him, that's the way, you know, that's the course forward. So that's why I start looking. I know that that price 8.5 is really steep in a lot of people's eyes, but it really comes down to what we're talking about is, hey, if you want to maximize your value, an agent can easily push for that and say, hey, that's the market we're going for, right?
It's so tough because there's not a lot of players that like peak at this age and get to this level of importance with their team at this age. And so he deserves a reward. He's earned a reward, certainly over 5.25 and a contract that the Canucks didn't give him. But, you know, you're kind of stuck in two worlds here to say, hey, to what level are we committing years to a 29-year-old player who's going to be 30 when his current contract runs out? Because I do look at that and say, I don't know if you can give 8 years to a player, as much as if I'm JT Miller, that's the contract I'm asking for.
Yep.
I'm looking at Couturier and Zibanejad. That's the one I'm asking for. What's the one I'd be willing to give? I think it's a lot closer to 6 years and say, hey man, we can't push this at 37, 38 years old. Can we live in a 5-6 year range? And that AAV might go up because he's performing and the goals and points are coming, but you're going to have to live with that.
Well, and you know the thing is, and this is Pardeep sent a question. He has a bunch of different questions. We'll get to a few of them a bit later, but one of them was a JT Miller extension talk. If the Canucks are in a playoff hunt, wild card spot come Olympic break February 1st, does JR extend JT? I say yes. He's been the de facto leader in the post Tanev Markey world and point leader for forwards 2 out of the past 3 years. And it comes down to how Jim Rutherford is going to evaluate JT Miller and how he views him. Is he a guy he feels like the team can't lose? Or is he a trade chip he can't bypass moving at some point to maximize the value for this team moving forward? And as far as Jim Rutherford is concerned, you're going to hear from him tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. He's going to join Halford and Brough here on Sportsnet 650. So the Canucks president and interim general manager is joining the morning show boys tomorrow at 8 a.m. A can't-miss interview with Jim Rutherford coming up tomorrow on Sportsnet 650. It is the People Show, Sat, Randeep, and Bick Nizar today, and it's time to take a look at what the betting market is telling us, courtesy of Play Now Sports and BCLC. As always, Matt Lee is joining us here on Sportsnet 650. And Matt, number one, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. How you've been holding up? Have you been staying dry and out of the snow the last little while?
Staying dry, staying safe. Tried to get a run in yesterday before the snow hit this morning, and I'm glad I did. Of course, the snow blanketing my neighborhood, I'm sure it was the same for you guys as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I mean, I know, last night, I was doing the post-game show, and I'm actually working from home because of everything going on right now, and I had all the blinds closed, better for the acoustics and everything, and then I was talking to Bick, he's like, man, I'm ordering food, they're not delivering it to me because the cars won't go out in this weather, and I'm like, what? I open up the blinds. I'm like, holy, there's like a snowstorm happening right now, essentially. So I just stayed at home, and that's all I did the last little while.
Yeah, the game ended last night, and then I look outside, and all of a sudden it's coming down outside. I'm like, oh, well, that's probably a good time to call it a night. So at that point, it was a good time to go to bed and wake up this morning. It was everything covered in snow, for sure.
Well, Matt, I didn't actually order any food in because I lost all my money gambling yesterday and betting on anytime goal bets. So this is where you can rip me for my picks.
Can we put this in the what were you thinking pile? I mean, I think you had the over on goals at 5.5.
I was expecting sloppy play.
It looked like nobody was going to score at that point. I mean, Gibson putting up the brick wall. Then you had the anytime Lundestrom goal and an anytime Garland goal. I mean, Garland probably could have had two or three with the number of chances he had. But I'm curious what the whiff daddy has for us today.
Okay, the night before, I went perfect. So there's got to be some happy medium tonight. So let me think on that. I'll tweet it out later. I'll try to win my money.
Sure. All right.
Let's focus on tonight's game, though. The Kings versus the Canucks. What are you looking at today in terms of the Canucks and that back-to-back?
Yeah, the back-to-backs are always tricky. And now you've got Jaro Halak in goal. So the money line is set at 2.15. Halak will be the wild card in this one. I mean, he's shown he's at least serviceable, but we can all agree he's not Thatcher Demko. The Kings, on the other hand, they're at 1.74 on the money line. They've also got one game under their belt since the Christmas break, so rust shouldn't be an issue for either team. Maybe some interesting anytime goal scorers. We mentioned Connor Garland yesterday. He could have had two. He's at 3.75 for tonight. Bo Horvat had a couple premium chances as well. He's at 3.25. The Kings, by the way, also averaging 34.5 shots a game. That's fourth in the NHL. Anze Kopitar was held without a shot against Vegas on Tuesday. His line for shots tonight set at 2.5. He has had three or more shots in at least half the games this season, so that's one to keep an eye on.
Hey, Matt, this is kind of putting you on the spot, but it just kind of occurred to me as you mentioned a couple of players there. Can you still bet on, like, season point totals through BCLC?
As far as
individual players?
No. It's a great question. Sometimes we do put them up sporadically. So, I mean, if we're going into the Olympic break, for instance, or what would have been the Olympic break, we probably would have an opportunity where you can put things up, such as will the Canucks make the playoffs, maybe some who will finish, will JT Miller score 80-plus points in the season, over-under on that. We'll probably have a will JT Miller even be extended or traded.
I think we just lost Matt Lee here for a second. We'll try to get him back here on the line in a moment, talking to him about some betting odds courtesy of BCLC and Play Now Sports. Be a player. Bet on hockey like never before with Play Now Sports, your local BC sportsbook. We'll get Matt on the line here again. But just kind of looking at some of those bets, and, you know, the thing with BCLC and Play Now Sports, they always come up with some interesting markets on the Canucks, you know, close to the playoffs, trades and all those sort of things. And I do think it's interesting, guys, to see how much things have changed as far as the market goes. We got you towards the end there, Matt. You were mentioning some of the markets kind of that are coming up and towards the Olympic break, or at least the break coming up in a bit. We might see some new odds coming up. As far as interest in betting on the Vancouver Canucks over their 7-game winning streak here, how much excitement are you guys seeing here with the uptick of interest in this Canucks team?
Oh, man. I mean, let's put it this way. First of all, every year there's always huge numbers of bets on the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, one of these days, the Canucks might win the Stanley Cup, and people will be very happy on PlayNow.com after placing a small bet on the Canucks. As we've seen since Bruce Boudreau has, you know, taken the helm behind the bench, you're seeing that betting activity ramp up. The more the Canucks seem to play well, there's more interest in betting on the Canucks. I mean, I've seen a lot of people betting on the Canucks in live at this point. The Canucks went down 1-0 to the Ducks going into the third period yesterday. Their odds on the money line were at 3.8 at one point. And everyone has followed the Canucks, and they've seen as well that this team can rally from even a small one-goal deficit going into the third period. So you're seeing a lot of increases in in-game betting as well.
All right. There's a lot of excitement. We'll have a better look at my anytime goal bets tonight. I'm gonna come back here. But let's focus on the NFL, because this weekend it's coming down to the wire. And one of the matchups we're looking at is KC versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati just goes off last week. KC is the powerhouse that we expected them to be. Does, you know, Cincy have a chance in this game?
Yeah, you know, the line is set at the Chiefs minus 5 points, but you guys are sort of alluding to it there. This is a Cincinnati team that really looks Like, it's more of a contender than a pretender at this juncture. Plus, it's a home game. I know the Chiefs are going to have Travis Kelce back in the fold, but the Bengals, they've got a lot to play for here too, guys. They're trying to separate themselves from the Ravens so that they can take the AFC North with a win.
Elsewhere, I'm falling in love with the Dallas Cowboys here, man. It's that star in the helmet. It just looks fantastic. The defense is awesome. Dak Prescott's good. Arizona versus Dallas. What's the betting line right now?
Yeah, Dallas and their defense has really been the story over the last few weeks. And meanwhile, you look on the other side of the field, Arizona's just been reeling, guys, without DeAndre Hopkins and James Conner. This is an offense that looks a little out of sorts with those injuries up front. Despite being in a playoff spot right now, the Cards are 6-point underdogs and 3.05 on the money line, which seems almost crazy given that the Cardinals have been better for the most part of the season.
No, I mean, you know, that's the big thing. I mean, the Cardinals have been that team that's been solid, but now things are kind of falling apart for them just a little bit here. And before we go, what game are you really keeping a close eye on, in addition to the ones we kind of talked about? Is it the Rams and Baltimore game that might be really interesting here for you, or perhaps that Miami versus Tennessee game?
Yeah, for me, it's the Miami Dolphins. They are the hottest team in the NFL going into week 17, just like everybody here predicted, right? I mean, they made Ian Book and the Saints look like a high school team this weekend. And, you know, they're going up against a Tennessee team that is going to be a much stiffer test. They're looking to make it 8 in a row. Right now, Miami is 3.5-point underdogs against Tennessee. That is coming off, by the way, 10 days of rest following that Thursday night win over the Niners. So this is going to be an intriguing one, but that line is definitely interesting. Miami at +3.5 is super, super interesting, and one that we'll look to see if we see some movement closer to Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Matt. We look forward to the NFL on the weekend, and we also look forward to seeing what the Canucks do tonight, and we look forward to chatting with you next week, as always. Happy New Year, my man.
Happy New Year, guys.
That is Matt Lee from BCLC and Play Now Sports. Be a player. Bet on hockey like never before with Play Now Sports, your local BC sportsbook. And, you know, just a couple of minutes here. We are going to get into more Canucks stuff at 4:30. We have Patrick O'Neill from the Kings that covers the Kings joining us. We'll talk about the Kings and the matchup coming up in a second. But as far as this weekend goes, guys, I mean, it's a massive weekend. You asked about that KC Cincinnati game, Randeep, and, you know, that Baltimore Ravens and LA Rams game. I mean, I'm keeping a super close eye on those games, because if KC wins and if the Rams beat the Baltimore Ravens and the Browns win against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night, the Browns have a chance to make the playoffs still in the final week of the season. So I am super intrigued about those two matchups specifically on Sunday morning. 10 a.m. starts here locally, Cincinnati, KC, and LA Rams, Baltimore Ravens.
There's a lot of ifs in that statement, though. That's what I'm going to say there. If this happens, then that happens, then this happens.
Hey,
then,
man,
the Browns have a chance.
I'm just saying, those, like, right now, like, I'm doing my bets right now. I'm not going to steal Bick 6, because I know you got that coming up tomorrow, Bick. But for me, I'm picking KC to beat the Bengals,
okay,
and I'm picking the Rams to beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Those are the only two things I'm picking. If those two things happen, the Browns have a chance. That's
right.
Not absurd.
No, hey,
absurd.
It could happen. It very well could happen. The one I'll be watching, and I, you know, everybody knows that I'm a Dolphins fan, but that Miami-Tennessee game is going to be the one that piques my interest, mostly based on the fact that, hey, a 7-game win streak, I love it. That's great. They're back in it. They're going to be challenging the Bills and maybe the Patriots, depending on what happens here. But a lot of those wins were against lesser competition. This one is going to be a step up for the Miami Dolphins. These final 2 weeks are going to show whether, you know, some of those improvements that Tua made, can he do it against, you know, a Jeffrey Simmons coming after him? Can he do it against some good defenses as well? So this game against Tennessee, the next game against the Patriots, this is the moment for the Miami Dolphins. They came out of nowhere after completely, you know, flushing their season down the toilet early on. But this is crunch time for this team, and we'll see what Tua's made of. And we know what that defense is made of, but the offense is the one that's going to have to answer some questions moving forward here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We look forward to seeing what happens in the NFL. We'll talk some more NFL as the show goes on. We have Not Saying, Just Saying coming up in about 20 minutes time or so. So get your submissions in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Coming up next, we're also going to talk to Patrick O'Neill, LA Kings host reporter for Baldy Sports West, covering the LA Kings. We look forward to chatting with him about the Kings and the matchup in L.A. against the Canucks this evening. Puck drop coming up at 7:30 on Sportsnet 650. All right, more coming up on the other side. Get your Not Saying, Just Saying submissions in as we speak right now. 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text inbox, and a home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to the People Show. Satyar Shah, Randy Janda, Bick Nazar today. The People Show is presented to you by your local Grip Auto and tire location. Winter tire service and expert advice are waiting for you at gripauto.ca today. And yeah, considering the amount of snow we're seeing and everything happening nowadays, you might want to check out some winter tires. So go to gripauto.ca today so you can make sure you get around the roads safely. It's been a bit treacherous out there with the amount of snow we've seen over the past week here in Vancouver. So please stay safe on the roads. Take your time. Be careful. And if you can't leave your home, just be extra diligent about everything that you do so we keep yourself and everybody else around the community as safe as possible with the weather we have seen. We are going to be joined by Patrick O'Neill, LA Kings host and reporter from Bally Sports West, covering the LA Kings, coming up in a minute to break down the game between the Kings and the Canucks. And gentlemen, when it comes to the game tonight, we know that Brock Besser is not playing. He went into COVID protocol yesterday alongside Phil DiGiuseppe. And also today, Canucks forward Justin Dowling was placed on COVID protocol as well, and he will not be playing in the game. However, Matthew Highmore was activated off IR. So, you know, this situation continues to happen, right? And every single game, we're at a point now, guys, where it seems like every team's going to be missing at least one or two guys. And the hope is it doesn't go beyond that.
No, absolutely. And you're going to have to be nimble. You're going to have to be, you know, flexible. You're going to have to use some players that, you know, Highmore, let's see what he can offer coming back as well. He is a quicker body. So that's something that every team in the NHL is dealing with right now, and the Vancouver Canucks are no different.
Well, let's welcome in Patrick O'Neill into the conversation, LA Kings host, reporter, Bally Sports West. And Patrick, thanks for joining us. Here in Vancouver, we're in the middle of a snowstorm, so can you tell us how delightful things are in LA right now?
I wish I could. It's been raining for two straight days here, boys.
Wow.
And speaking of winter tires, we could use some down here. It rains in LA, things practically shut down, but it's not snowing. It's been a little bit cold, but it's warmer inside here at the rink, and I'm looking forward to a good game here tonight.
Yeah, no question about that, and we appreciate your time and you joining us today, Patrick, on game day. And when you look at the COVID situation that's ongoing with the LA Kings, how difficult, I mean, every team's dealing with it, but how challenging a situation has this been for this team and the players trying to navigate the situation just like every other team is right now?
I think just as challenging as it is for the Canucks and everybody else, it's a nightmare. I think that, you know, the way the training staff, you know, has to deal with this each and every day, it's a miracle, you know, and I know it's frustrating for the coaches and the front office, but they're doing a great job. You know, we lost Drew Doughty. He just, you know, he was out and he came back last game versus Vegas, but was not at his best. And, he's had a few practices and he should be better here tonight. Philip Deneau has just been activated off the COVID protocol list. So he is available tonight. I believe he's a game time decision. I would expect him to play. The Kings need some help up the middle to match up with Vancouver's coming in hot. So the Kings are so thin on the back end with the injuries, but they're dealing with it. It's hard. It's hard for everybody. We've lost people on our television crew, our producer, graphics, you know, our radio play-by-play guy goes down. So I think for everybody, it's treacherous.
Absolutely. That's the day not only in the NHL, but in society across the board as well. So that game, you know, last night the Canucks played their first game back from the pause. A couple of nights ago, the Kings played the Vegas Golden Knights, and it just felt watching that game that, you know, maybe speed and physically the LA Kings were there, but it just felt like they were not necessarily clicking. The processing of the game just felt a little off for this team.
Boys, they were brutal. It really was one of the worst games I've seen the Kings play this year. And when I'm hosting the pre or intermission or post game, you know, as a team partner, I have to be like, "Hey guys, what did you think?" Not our best effort tonight. Kind of play it down the middle, but I'm on, and you know, with you guys, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, I could be a little bit more honest. It was spooky. It was terrible. They just gave up so many golden opportunities right at home plate. Quick, you know, Quick was hung out to dry. I mean, he's allowed five goals, you know, versus Vegas, and the game before that, five goals. So that's just crushed his season numbers. Expect him back in the lineup tonight. I think Alex Edler being out, that was a game I saw the other night that he really would have settled things down defensively. We are so young on the back end with, you know, guys getting opportunities to play because of everything that's going on. We lost Sean Walker for the season. you know, and Evers' injury, and Drew was out with an injury. It's been tough, but I expect them to bounce back. They had a pretty good road trip just before the pause there, so I expect a better effort tonight for sure.
Obviously in Vancouver, Patrick, very familiar with Alex Edler's contribution, and we know we got a nice ovation when they came back, and it was, you know, just on the heels of them making changes, and it didn't feel like he got maybe the big fanfare he should have of returning. But for people that haven't been watching game in, game out of Kings hockey to watch Edler, what has his impact kind of been like in his first foray in a new town?
Certainly my perspective was way, way better than I was anticipating him coming in, right? 15, you know, year vet, closing in on 1,000 games. He has been steady, Eddie. He was playing great hockey for the LA Kings, making smart plays down low, just clever little outlet passes between his legs, just settling things down, as you guys know. So, as you know so well, obviously, for so many years. So, gosh, you know, he's going to come back, though, and he's showing his leadership even in injury, being out. So getting him back will be a bonus. I was, you know, I always kind of like that milestone, 1,000 games, and sort of counting down for Alex there. He most likely won't be able to reach that this season due to the injury, but getting him back is going to be huge. But really, really, he was just playing fantastic for sure. So that was a big loss for us.
We're in conversation with Patrick O'Neill, LA Kings host here on Sportsnet 650. And, you know, on the back end, Drew Doughty's had his fair share of he's had his injuries this year, but in protocol as well. He is back in the lineup. And in the 12 games he's played, he's been tremendous, 14 points on the season. When he's been healthy, what's been the real change in his game that has him playing at that higher level again, it seems?
Well, I don't know about a change in Drew Doughty's game. I think he's, you know, one of the best defensemen in the league. I think he was motivated this year because he wanted to play for Team Canada and, you know, go to Beijing. I think that was certainly disappointing for him and everybody. But he came in great shape. He's playing fantastic hockey prior to his injury. Was you know, picking up all kinds of assists left, right, and center. Then he came back from the knee injury faster, 2 weeks quicker than expected. Just kind of like a miracle how this guy heals. Was playing great, then COVID shut him down, and then, you know, just he hadn't really skated, and then was suddenly back in, you know, on the ice playing a game, and it was tough one for him. But you know, he's a Hall of Famer, he's a tremendous player, a great leader, and you know, I think for the Kings is, you know, struggle to score, and the special teams have been tough. Now Doughty's out there on the power play. Power play has got to be better, and the penalty kill's been pretty tough, you know, lower end of the league in both categories. So that's where I think the Kings struggle, but Doughty's been. He's been great all year, for sure. But we've got to expect that out here from number 8.
I find the Kings one of the more intriguing teams to watch from a distance because you do have that, you know, that group like Kopitar and Doughty and some veteran additions that they made this year. But, you know, one of the best prospect pools across the NHL as well. You know, and this team has had those wild swings where they're playing really well, started off the year poorly, and then they kind of go up and down as that Vegas game showed us. But, you know, internally, what's the expectation? Because I feel like they're kind of in the middle road right now where they've got, you know, a lot of good, solid veteran players, some stars, but there's also a turning of a corner with a young, youthful group as well.
You're right. You're right. For sure. It is kind of that weird transition where sometimes this team plays really up to the competition. Like we see them, you know, go on the road, and that 4-game trip was brutal, but they come out and, you know, beat Washington 3-2, you know, just before the shutdown. You're like, wow, that was a really, really strong 2-1-1, you know, road trip for the Kings. And then you see what they do against Vegas or lesser teams, and so you're not sure. We saw Alex Turcotte make his NHL debut Tuesday versus Vegas, played over 12 minutes, played okay. You know, he was fifth overall in 2019, so he's been, you know, battling some injuries over the years, over the couple of years since the Kings have drafted him. You know, Quentin Byfield dealt with an injury, and then, you know, he was number 2 overall last year, but he is going to be very, very good. He's going to come back. He'll need some time in the American League, and expect him to come back, play this year and be that, you know, third-line center for the LA Kings. Rasmus Kupari is a young centerman that's kind of held Alex Turcotte back a little bit because he's so fast and you know, really good two-way player. So, you know, it's kind of hard to answer your question. The expectations are playoffs this year. Especially when you look at Kopitar and Doughty and, you know, and Brown and Quick, you know, that core group. But at the same time, they're not consistent enough necessarily right now to make it. So Let's see. You know, this is game two of a 7-game homestand right here at Crypto.com Arena. And, you know, they need to get some points to keep pace with everybody in the division.
How frustrated are the fans? Because this is now 3 years without the playoffs. Maybe they make it this year. Maybe not. That could be 4 years. And this is a team, like, not that far removed. I guess 7 years is a while. But, you know, two championships, conference finals appearance. This is kind of a far departure from King's standards. How patient are the fans going to be?
Fans are pretty patient. You know, I think the last couple of years for everybody across, you know, the country, obviously, you know, Canada and the world, but with COVID shutting things down and putting everything kind of just up in the air, that I think that maybe that's created a little more patience. I mean, it depends if you're on social media or if you're on, you know, certain websites and reading some of the, you know, the comments. Sure, that there's frustration, but we also know that we have a really strong player development staff and prospects. Like, really good. If you look at rankings, they, a lot of people like to rank the LA Kings prospect pool as one of the best in the league. So you have Kopitar and Doughty and Quick and Brown. You kind of want to keep, you know, do it now before those guys kind of get too long in the tooth if they're not there already. I mean, Kopi's playing great. So forgive me for even saying that before lightning strikes me down here. But I still think they're a year or two away, you know. So I would say if not this year, next year for sure. They don't make the playoffs, I would expect some massive changes.
Well, and I think that's the thing. But when you start looking at, you know, guys like Rod Blake, who's a GM there, does he get a contract extension? Like, what do you think has to happen this season for that faith to remain in the front office and the coaching staff? Like, do you think this year there has to be a certain standard they have to hit for them to kind of really buy in?
I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to say. I think everybody should get a pass this year in a way. Go out there, do your best. But what we're dealing with this COVID situation and with the new variant, just postponing games, as you guys know, and what's going on up there in Canada, and just it's crazy. It's like every single day, you just don't know what's going to happen. So it's tough. It's really tough. And I would give this year, you know, a pass. I would certainly give those guys absolutely all of next year and then reevaluate, assuming that next season we can get back to normal somewhat.
He is Patrick O'Neill, very gracious with his time on game day. LA Kings host, Bally Sports West. Patrick, always a pleasure getting you on Sportsnet 650. We appreciate your time, and maybe not too much luck to your Kings with the Canucks being super hot, but we look forward to watching the game tonight.
Tell you, Gabby, man, he's got to take a loss eventually, right? I mean, my goodness, incredible effort, 7 straight with him at the helm. So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we can end that streak, and I appreciate you guys having me on. It's definitely an honor to be on with you guys. And I mean, COVID must have knocked somebody out with you to get the Kings TV, you know, host on with you, but I'll take it anytime.
No, man, always great stuff having you on, Patrick. Appreciate your time. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
You got it. Take care, guys.
That is Patrick O'Neill. Some good breakdowns on the LA Kings, and are real funny too, talking about, you know, the nature of doing the job and when a team does poorly and all that sort of stuff and how you kind of have to approach it. But, you know, as far as that Kings team goes, it is really fascinating because, you know, Turcotte played one game, and there's so many of their players that are young and kind of on the cusp, but they might take a couple years to figure out. And Byfield had the unfortunate injury. You haven't seen him kind of get it going yet, right? I mean, Kaldiev has a lot of talent and potential, hasn't really gotten going. So you have to also be careful not to get too down on a performance this year, considering how young that talent is on that team.
Yeah, they are a team in transition, and as much as you want to extend that window and say, hey, you have a Kopitar who's making $10 million per season, you have a Drew Doughty who's making $11 per season, and you have additions like Victor Arvidsson and Alex Edler, you know, the team is still, even though they might be more competitive the last years and potentially, you know, prior to the season starting, I thought they'd be a little bit closer to at least competing for a playoff spot. But what we've seen this year is they've got some pretty decent highs, but they're, you know, they've got some valleys to their team as well. And when they go into that rut, they're going to, A, get embarrassed in games like they were last time around, or they can have a couple of losing streaks as well. But I think long term, and even, you know, I didn't mention Dano, he's obviously a key addition in the offseason. But if you look at that younger group that they do have, we talk about, you know, some of the players that you mentioned there. Rasmus Kupari is a part of it. Gabe Vilardi is still a part of that system. You know, I know Samuel Helenis is another player that on the Kings broadcast last game is another second round pick that they really feel highly, and they feel like he could be a top nine player on that squad. There's a few other guys that you sprinkle in there, but it's still a long build, right? Like, you don't turn that around, even though you feel highly in a Kopitar, and he can maybe still put up the points, and he's still a high-level player. The rest of that roster, especially that back end, boys, they need a lot of work there, and that's not going to happen overnight.
No, absolutely not, and that's the big thing. And we'll see how that goes. We'll talk more about the matchup between the Kings and the Vancouver Canucks, which is coming up at 7:30, official pregame show on Sportsnet 650 and a Sportsnet Radio Network gets going at 6:30. All right, it is time to get to Not Saying, Just Saying. Get your submissions into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll get the segment going here on the People's Show. And guys, I will start it off
right, for
Not Saying, Just Saying. Keep getting your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. I'm not saying I give JT Miller whatever he wants. I'm just saying I'd rather sign JT than trade him.
Okay.
That checks out. All right.
Yeah, you want him on your team, right? Like, especially if this is a competitive team. If you're saying 2 years down the line they're not going to do anything, yeah, then you consider it. But if this is a team that is competing for something, you're better off having him on. But what's that contract, though, Sat? Are you going 7-8 years?
I don't know.
Risky play, man.
Risky business. But I might make an emotional decision, Vic. That's where I'm at.
Oh, impulsive buy. I like it. All right, I got one, too.
All right.
I'm not saying the Canucks are a top three team in the Pacific. I'm just saying this will be the last day of the season that they will be in seventh place in the Pacific. I think they beat the LA Kings, and they never look back. Seventh place in the division, they're not going to be in that spot for the rest of the year once they win tonight, if they win.
That's strong. All right. I'm not saying there's going to be two wins for me today. I'm just saying Man United already got one. I'm feeling great today, boys. Scott McTominay looked unreal.
Come on, man. You beat Burnley.
Good. Goodness me, man. Yeah, and 2021 in style. That's what I said.
Yeah, don't cough up a 1-0 lead late like Chelsea did. I'm not mad about it, not at all.
Hasn't affected you whatsoever.
I was going to break out another I'm not saying. I'm not saying hockey players need to be more dramatic. I'm just saying more people need to take Romelu Lukaku's cue after what he's been doing the last couple
stop.
Of days.
Why do you got to bring that up? So I'm trying to get to the bottom of all this, and it's such a hectic day. We got a show and a game and everything like that. But apparently those comments he made about Thomas Tuchel, who's the manager of Chelsea, and how, you know, he doesn't play the system that he wants to play, but he's going to, you know, suck it up and show up every day. That was from a few weeks ago, so I'm hoping that was – I don't know, man. I'm stressed.
I don't know.
He's lighting them up, man.
I'm just listening to Sat talk about this right now. My man is shook. Romelu shook him.
I'm definitely shook.
All right, we got this one from Marcus and Gibson.
I feel so good about the team, too.
We got Marcus and Gibson's coming with. I'm not saying we aren't all Canucks. I'm just saying the team's core is all American. It's a pretty good one.
That is good. And he has another one, and I like this one. I'm not saying we'll never lose again. I'm just saying it's not happening until the new year, boys and girls.
Okay.
There you go. Hashtag facts only. Not saying, unsigned text here, Canucks need to make a trade on a top-level player. Just saying, if you look at other teams, that is how they keep being playoff contenders year over year over year. So, not the draft and develop method. Keep trading for top-level players.
Trade and develop?
Trade and develop somewhere else.
Yeah.
This one from Jess.
Is that a day by day? Day to day?
Yeah, we don't want to get there yet. I like this one from Greg, the dairy farmer. It's not, he didn't submit as a not saying, just saying, but I'm going to make it one. Not saying, just saying, I'd be willing to pay JT Miller $6.5 million times 4 years or trade him for a massive haul. JT Miller ain't taking 6.5 by 4.
Probably not.
No,
not
man.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
And if he does, you sign that ASAP. If you get him signed to a 4 year deal, at 29, yeah, you hurry up and do it.
Yeah, if you sign that and you're JT Miller, you probably fire your agent as well.
I'm not saying the Quinn Hughes contract is amazing. I'm just saying having that cap of 7.85 might be relevant for all the other contract negotiations or so.
Ooh, that's a good way of putting it. It is, man. Like, when your best player's cap like that, and he's got a couple UFA years with it too, you're right. It's a good internal figure to set up.
But to be fair, though, JT Miller's agent's probably going to come back and say, what are you talking about, best player? This guy's our best player. This guy is your best player.
I am the best player now. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Shiloh, not saying the Canucks will win. I'm just saying, Bruce, there it is.
There it is. Jesse Nanaimo, not saying the Canucks going 7-0 with Bruce at the helm isn't good. Just saying making the playoffs this year would be tremendous, and I can now see it happening. That is Jesse Nanaimo.
Jesse, like, bringing it.
Okay, okay. I like this one. Unsigned, please sign your text. Not saying, just saying, give JT the infamous 6x6.
Hey, man, all curses have to end somewhere.
Yeah, at some point they do. Silver and black Canuck. I'm not saying 2020 is going to be a great year for me. I'm just saying I think both my sports teams make the playoffs. P.S. Thank you to Sat and his Browns for the win last week. I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah, Sat Yarchar's effort was unremarkable, which was just so remarkable last week.
The Browns have lost 4 games they should have won, man. Anyways.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
I'm so mad when we talk about Chelsea and the Browns. At least the Canucks are winning. That makes my life a little easier. For now.
This one, I'm not saying Nils Höglander needs a scoring touch. I'm just saying Daniel Sedin should take him under his wing. That's unsigned.
Ooh, I like it. Okay. Dale in Maple Ridge. what is it saying? I can't even get it.
Okay, while you figure that one out, though, you talk about, you know, Daniel Sedin taking Nils Höglander under his wing. Did Henrik Sedin take Alex Chiasson under his wing yesterday? You see those extra passes? Like, man, shoot the puck if you're in front of the net. What are you doing?
Who, Jason Dickinson?
Dickinson, Chiasson, all of them, man.
Oh.
What?
I didn't have a problem with the Dickinson one.
That was right on...
My issue was with Chiasson mostly.
It was a Horvat stick. Yeah, okay. I mean, the play Dickinson made, he made the perfect play. If Horvat gets contact, that's a sure goal. It was a tap-in. He whiffed on it.
You got to give credit to both. Shattenkirk for tying up his stick on that play.
Yeah.
Fair.
True. That's Shattenkirk made a good play.
He did.
But I like the play that Dickinson made. I mean, it was right there to Bo. He gets a good stick on it. That's a goal. And listen, Jason Dickinson has 2 goals in 30 games. We really think he's going to close score there? He's probably a better chance getting into Bo in the slot.
He doesn't have much deception to his shot. So, yeah, maybe he's better off passing. Chiasson, shoot the puck, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. A lot of good not saying, just saying coming in. I'm not saying 7 in a row isn't good. I'm just saying 8 in a row is even better. Well, didn't Boudreaux say 10 is even better on the cameo performance?
Oh, yeah.
It's true. What happened to win the week?
Why settle for 8? Win 10 in a row. All right. Appreciate all the submissions for not saying, just saying. We'll try to get some of the other ones on the other side. Appreciate your contributions as always. We'll continue the conversation around the Vancouver Canucks on the other side. We'll get into things with Irfan Ghaffar, and we'll delve into what is yet to come off the ice for this Canucks team. We'll give you a bit of an update on what might happen with home games coming up here in Vancouver as well. It is the People Show. Satyar Shah, Randeep Janda, Bik Nizar, and the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.